very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit selfdefenseguns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so well, hopefully we'll have him on the line. But until then, let's talk about the swine flu. And if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. Our number is 877-254-7524. That's 877-254-7524. We'd love to hear from you, but if you were listening to the news just now, they were saying that, oh, my goodness, this swine flu vaccine has a great immune response. And so, you know, why everybody, the inference is everybody ought to take the swine flu vaccine. Now, what do they mean it has a marked immune response? I mean, it hasn't been around long enough to know whether or not it's going to actually protect people. How do they know it has an immune response? Well, they're measuring the antibody response after giving the shot, and to see if the antibody response rises, and they can actually measure the antibodies. And apparently, why this swine flu Israeli vaccine is doing a good job. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, ordinarily, if you study the large series of evaluations of what happens with regular influenza vaccine, the one that we give every year, it's totally unnecessary. First of all, the large studies, and there's something known as the Cochrane study. It's been very, very well done by the doctor named Dr. Tom Jefferson. Easy to remember his name. It's a familiar name to all of us, but probably no relationship to Thomas Jefferson. But Tom Jefferson has supervised the Cochrane studies, where they've taken all the independent studies done on the effectiveness of regular influenza vaccine and analyzed them. And we are talking 40 or 50 studies on various age groups, and they found that from children from 6 months of age to 2 years of age, the influenza vaccine does absolutely no good on children. From 2 years of age up to perhaps 15 years of age, they may be, if it's a live vaccine, it may be 36% effective. If it's a killed vaccine, it's about 33% effective. On adults from 15 up to 65, it does absolutely no good. Absolutely no good. It doesn't shorten the length of disease, doesn't keep people on the job. It does no good, but they give it anyway because it's profitable for the vaccine companies. In people over 65, if you are living at home, why, it doesn't do any good. If you're living in a controlled, in a nursing home with a lot of other old people, it may have about 20 to 25% effectiveness. So the influenza vaccines that are ordinarily given really aren't that much good. They really no justification for giving them to children between 6 months and 2 years of age, no justification for giving them to adults, and no justification to give them to people over 65. You know, certainly they say, oh, well, these people, if they have severe illnesses, why, of course, so they should get the vaccines because they're going to die. No, if they have severe illnesses, you don't want to give them the vaccines because many of the people will get the illness or reaction to the illness from the vaccine, and these people can't mobilize their immune systems ready to protect themselves. The reason that they get sick and they die is because they don't have a normal immune response. Maybe if they were taking large doses of vitamin D and herbs and the other things that would boost their immune systems, they'd be better off, but we never use those ordinarily. Doctors should be using them, but of course the medical practice is controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. Well, and of course the pharmaceutical companies, the last thing they want is to get the truth out about what's really going on. Incidentally, I'm going to be interviewing Scott Tipps later today. He is certainly with the with the National Health Federation. He'll going to be talking about Codex, so you'll certainly want to listen to my program. I think it's at 4 o'clock when he's going to be on, and Scott Tipps is certainly the most informed person in the world about the danger of Codex. So let's get back to the swine flu vaccine. If the regular influenza vaccines really don't provoke a good antibody response and don't help, what about the swine flu vaccine? Well, apparently why they are using adjuvants to actually accelerate the antibody response. And the adjuvant that they're using is squalene. It's a oil and water solution, and every time this has been used, it has been a disaster. These products were used, in the 1950s, experiments on American soldiers. They always experiment on our fighting men, after all. Henry Kissinger has told you what he thinks of our fighting men. Stupid, dumb animals to be used for public policy. Stupid, dumb animals. That's his attitude. And that's the attitude of the elite sorts of military. They use them as guinea pigs. That's why if you have a son or daughter, they should not go in the military, because they'll be used as guinea pigs too. Anyway, the squalene products that were used, a mineral oil product that was used back during that period of time in the 1950s, was so disastrous, and so many people got progressive neurological disease, they discontinued it. But then, of course, when we were going into the Gulf War, why, of course, there was a question that Saddam had anthrax, and of course, remember, the reason that we knew Saddam Hussein had anthrax weapons is because we'd given him the anthrax to build them. And so they said, oh, my goodness, our boys are going in there, and Saddam might release anthrax. We've got to come up with a vaccine that'll work quickly. And so they put squalene into an experimental vaccine and created the Gulf War illness. And if you haven't heard my four-tape set on Vaccine A or my four-tape set on Gulf War illness, Vaccine A is probably the best one. And we destroyed the lives of a couple of 100,000 Americans, and many of them are dead. Large numbers of them are dead today because they use a screening adjuvant. And who do we have on the line? Who's calling
in? This is Pastor David Whitney. Apologize for being late, Dr.
Pastor David Whitney. Well, let me just conclude my remarks on the squalene vaccine. They're using a squalene vaccine a squalene adjuvant in the vaccines they're going to be giving here in America. They're lying about it. They're saying they're not going to do it, but that's why they're getting such a good result. Ladies and gentlemen, one shot of squalene, if you're susceptible, will destroy your whole life. And they know that, and yet they're going to administer them anyway. Why? Well, we'll be back with Pastor David Whitney in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life. Thanks to the people at Good Life International, along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David's with us once a month. Why? Why? Because the most important thing you can do as an American citizen, other than have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, is to understand our Constitution, because this is truly an inspired document. different than any other constitution ever created throughout the world. Why? Because it is designed to limit the power of government, of the federal government, so men could be free. Liberty and limited federal government went together. The powers of the central government were limited and defined. Powers of the state government were unlimited and ill-defined. Very simply, so the federal government could never provide for the people, could never provide for their health and their education and their welfare. Only the fascists want to do that. Why? Because it's all about power and perhaps at this stage about population control. David, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And actually, what you were talking about before the break is one of those multitude of illustrations of how the federal government, when it violates the Constitution, when it steps outside its boundaries, when it engages in, quote, foreign policy initiatives and those sort of things like we have done in Iraq and maybe we'll be doing in Iran here shortly, all of those things are because when the federal government steps out of the checks and balances designed to prevent it from violating not only the rights of our own people, but the rights of other citizens of other nations, well, you get this terrible, out-of-control government that we have today. And so our founders, understanding human nature, understanding the biblical description of human nature, that all men are fallen, all men are sinners, all men have an inborn propensity to violate the law of God, that you can never trust any man with absolute power, and in fact, you better put double and triple checks upon anyone that you grant any power to whatsoever. And that's what they did. We understand very clearly with the three branches of government, the legislative, executive, and judicial, each as a check against each other. And then, of course, the four levels of government, federal, state, and then county, and then local, each of those levels of government designed to be a check against the violations of power of one of the other levels. And then, finally, they assigned a jury, a function to check the entire system, an independent jury of jurors who could judge whether the law indeed was lawful, that is, was it in coherence with the laws of nature, nature's God, that are given to us in God's Word, the Bible. And then, secondly, was the law constitutional, with a federal or state constitution. So all of these checks and balances put in place to be certain that those who are granted any power in our system of government do not have an ability to abuse that power. And the sad reality is today that federal, state, and even local governments are greatly abusing their powers. Why? Because the citizens have failed to do the duty that is their part of this whole equation, that they must be the ultimate check upon the powers that we the people have granted to the civil governments that we have created. And we are, as citizens, basically negligent in holding our civil government accountable if we do not know the law that they are to be held accountable to. That is, we do not know the U.S. Constitution, do not know our state constitutions, do not know what are the limits that are placed upon our government, both at federal and state levels. Well, last time we were talking about the specific limits placed upon congressional authority in Article 1, Section 9. And Article 1, Section 10, moving on from that, places some very similar limitations upon states' authority. And it's very interesting here. We know the Constitution was crafted to put chains specifically on the federal government. However, in addition to that, there are some chains, that is, there are some limitations put upon state government. We know in general, a Federalist Paper 45 by James Madison, who was rightly called the father of our Constitution, Madison basically said, federal government has very few defined and limited powers, primarily dealing with external issues such as war, peace treaties, trade with foreign nations, those sort of things. That's really all the federal government was crafted to do. The state governments have wide-ranging powers that have everything to do with protecting the God-given rights of life, liberty, and property of the citizens of their respective states. And so it was never a design that we have today that the federal government controls the states, and states are basically, you know, kind of municipalities in the federal system. That was never what their intention was. And so when we read this list of limitations upon states' authorities, we need to do so remembering that the Tenth Amendment clearly states any powers not granted to the federal government, just the few limited defined powers granted to the federal government, any of the other powers or any of the other areas of exercise of power are reserved to the states or to the people respectively. So that the this limitation on states' authority is just a very, very minor area of limitation. And that's quite in contrast to how our Constitution is read and interpreted by judges today, who are really misinterpreting it and misreading it and misconstruing it in violation of our founders' design. But those who would seek to undermine our system, no, they could never do it if they had to corrupt all 50 state governments first. They could only do it if they corrupted the federal government and made the federal government the powerful force over all of the state governments. Well, let's look at Article 1, Section 10, limitations on states' authority.
David, let me just point out, for the person who's interested out there, what David is saying is contained in the 45th of the Federalist Papers. You need to read the Federalist Papers, but specifically number 10 and number 45, two of the most important of the Federalist Papers. You know, and in the 45th of the Federalist Papers, Madison says that the powers of the central government are to be limited and defined. The powers of the state government are unlimited and ill-defined, and matters dealing with life, liberty, and property are to be relegated to the state governments. Understand that the people in Washington, D.C., if they know anything about the Constitution, know what they're doing, but they want a fascist society. And as David said, far easier to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. It's far easier to corrupt just one political body than having to corrupt all the state legislators. That's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why they've changed the teaching of the Constitution. That's why they never tell the people the truth in public schools today, which are used not to educate, but to indoctrinate in statism and internationalism. Please go ahead, David.
Well, the limitations on states' authority begin with things that actually make sense, because these are things that only the federal government could appropriately do. First of all, the states may not enter treaties, alliances, or confederations. For a state to do that, say they entered a confederation with Canada, one state made a peace treaty with Canada, but the rest of the states were at war with Canada. Well, that wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't really have any unity to function as the federal government was designed, to do things that the 13 states could not do on their own. And in fact, that's a good test. If you want to test whether the federal government should be doing a certain activity, it's a very simple task. Ask this: could this activity be done by the states? Not could it be done better by the states, or in any way evaluating whether it could be done better or worse. No, just could it be done by the states? And if you answer yes, the state government could do this function. Oh, pick, I don't know, say education. I don't think education is a good function of any state government, but let's just pick it for an example. Can the states do education? Well, yeah. Then the federal government should not do it at all. But here we have an illustration of things that the states cannot effectively do on their own: enter treaties, alliances, or confederations. The second would be to grant letters of marque and reprisal. And those are unfamiliar terms for most of us, but the idea here is that when our country or individuals are attacking our country, not another nation, so we cannot declare war against the nation that has attacked us. It's an individual or a group of individuals. The example that comes to mind in history is the Barbary Pirates that were attacking American shipping. And the appropriate response is, well, the Barbary Pirates are not a nation. They're not a country. We can't declare war against. These are individuals. They're, you know, kind of the terrorists of their day. The proper response of the government is to grant letters of marque and reprisal, which allows individuals to, you know, maybe arm their own ship and as a privateer go attack the pirates and capture the pirate ship and have an authorization from our government, so that if they are arrested by some other government, the other government has to recognize, oh, these are a lawfully, their power is lawfully granted to make war on these individuals who are making war on the American interests. So that's what should have been, by the way, the response to 9/11, and Ron Paul was the one who proposed letters of marque and reprisal. No one considered it. Instead, they granted an unconstitutional authorization of use of force to the president. Nothing in the Constitution of that sort is permissible whatsoever. But states obviously cannot do that, because a state to grant a letter of mark of reprisal would be for the state to be going to war in this fashion. The third thing that states may not do is issue paper money or anything else but gold or silver in payment of debts. The problem during the Articles of Confederation, everybody was issuing paper money. Of course, the federal government was issuing continentals, which became absolutely worthless, which always happens whenever you engage in fiat currency, that is, paper money backed by nothing. Well, what the government's going to do is going to print as much as it wants, and it becomes worthless. And the phrase worthless as a continental came from that period of time. Our founders recognized that paper money backed by nothing is extremely dangerous, is destructive of the economy. And the amazing thing is, Dr. Stern, just at the time of the Constitutional Convention, there was a horrible economic crisis. Just terrible. Business conditions were abominable because of the paper currency backed by nothing. And once the Constitution passed, an amazing transformation took place in America. America's economy recovered quickly, and America's economy was vibrant, so much so that the rest of the world looked in amazement to see the recovery. And I believe that recovery could happen today if our federal government eliminated the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal, has no reserves, a private banking cartel, eliminated it and returned to gold and silver as the real money, which is the only constitutional money. But obviously, the problem was that states were printing their own currency. The federal government, all this unbacked currency had to be done away with. So they said, okay, only the federal government can coin money. That is, take gold and silver and make gold and silver the coin of our country. Not states, just the federal government, so that there's a standardization between the states. And again, this is a function that's appropriate for the federal government, to set up a standardization by which trade and economic prosperity can flourish among all the states. So set the standard for everyone. So no state, therefore, can coin money. Fourthly, no state can pass a bill of attainder. Now, we mentioned this in Article 1, Section 9, a bill of attainder is where the legislature acts as if it is a court, and it passes judgment on an individual and passes a bill that says this individual is guilty and here's the penalty. So basically, it's the legislative branch acting like the judicial branch. That's inappropriate. And no state is permitted to pass a bill of attainder in its legislature, nor is any of Congress or the Senate to pass a bill of attainder. Then the next one, sixth, is ex post facto laws are also prohibited. We talked about this as well when we looked at Section 9 of Article 1. Ex post facto law is to make something illegal that a few days ago was not illegal, but then punish people who committed that act when on the books it was still legal to do this. Now that you've made it illegal, you punish them retroactively. Of course, that's not fair. You need to be able to know what laws you are subject to and not have those laws changed at the whim of the legislature and be punished for something that when you committed the deed, it was legal. And now we make it illegal and we'll punish you for it. That's completely unfair. So no state can pass an ex post facto law. And neither can any state pass a law impairing obligation of contracts. Here is a very important principle. The framers believed the right to make and enforce contracts was a God-given right that the government should never be able to interfere with. Never. That if you formed a contract with another person, that was a sacred and solemn contract that the federal government nor the state governments, no, not even any local government, should have any ability to interfere with that contract. And for many years, that was the case in our country. Contracts were sacred and business and the economy in our country flourished because most of the countries of the world permitted their governments to interfere with contracts that were freely entered into by their citizens. And so that, of course, puts a huge damper on any business, because you don't know what the government might do whenever you enter a contract. So you kind of have to have a contingency plan. Well, what if the government does this or that? And that puts a heavy damper on economic freedom. Now, this was violated by our federal government during the time when a huge number of violations were taking place during the reign of Franklin the devil himself, Roosevelt. This was in 1934 after he had packed the Supreme Court, and the decision, or I need to state this correctly, the opinion. And by the way, that's all courts ever issue. Only do they issue an opinion and the opinion is only binding on the two parties that have come before the court. So, for example, Roe v. Wade, that opinion of the Supreme Court binds nobody else except those two, Roe and Wade, nobody else. And most people don't understand that. They think, well, the Supreme Court issues their opinion, and their opinion is law. No, it's not. It's not law because it's not made by the legislature. It's by the judiciary.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney, Institute for the Constitution.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way. The only way they know how.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney at the Institute of the Constitution. And before we go on, would you like to go ahead and give out your telephone number? Tell people about the Institute, about the products that you offer, and, of course, why people should get in touch with you. Get a packet and start teaching their friends and family about the wonderful Constitution that we had. And if we don't return to it, then freedom as we know it today will simply become a remembrance of things past.
Yes, Dr. Stan, our number here at Institute on the Constitution is a toll-free number, and that number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number, again, here at Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And we strongly encourage people to learn the Constitution. We have many materials to help instruct people in the details of the Constitution, the most important of which, of course, is our host kit. We've put together a series of 12 lectures by constitutional law professor John Eismo, 2 lectures by David Barton, a student manual that gives you a detailed outline of each of those lectures, as well as test questions following up the lectures so that you would, you know, just solidify in your mind the facts that are being taught here. And this course will give you a working knowledge of the Declaration of Independence, a working knowledge of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the subsequent 17 Amendments, as well as an understanding of our founders' view of law and government, excuse me, which is a biblical view. And that that view has been left behind, it's been jettisoned for a pagan view, which is basically what is being practiced today, which is why the Constitution is considered a document that most people who take an oath of office just ignore. They pay no attention to it if they have read it at all. We as citizens can change that, but we cannot do it until we know the Constitution and then hold our elected officials accountable and only vote those into office who will follow the Constitution. And so we encourage people to get a hold of our host kit. They can do so by calling us, a toll-free number, or going to our website. Website for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That website, again, is iotconline.com. And people can actually, if they prefer to view the course online, if they have broadband access, they can, when you go to the very first page of our website, right at the top, there's a button, Online Course. Click for that and then sign up, and we'll send you an email back, and then the cost for that is $30 to take the course online. And for those who complete the course online, we offer a $30 discount if they are going to purchase a host kit. So actually they recoup the cost of that online course. And then there's many, many materials available of lectures and so forth in our store that we encourage you to avail yourself of, because if you don't work for your freedom, we will lose it altogether. And Thomas Jefferson wisely said, anyone who desires to be ignorant and free desires what never was and never will be. So we've got to educate ourselves if we want to preserve our freedom, and this is a desperate day, as Dr. Stan, you talk about in so many of your other programs, a desperate day in which the attacks upon our freedoms, our God-given rights, are moving so rapidly that we must take very quick action. And the first action is to educate yourself, and then educate as wide a circle of people as you can reach, your family. Gather them together to watch this, or take it to your church and host a class there. We have many churches across the country that are doing it this fall, and people are waking up. They're upset, you know, going to tea parties and all. That's great to protest, but until you educate yourself, you won't know the specific things to identify what the elected representatives are doing, what the president is doing, what the Supreme Court is doing, that are a violation of the supreme law of the land, which is our Constitution. Well, going back to what took place during the reign of FDR, and as he packed the Supreme Court, this understanding that states may not pass laws impairing the obligation of contracts, this was twisted to mean the opposite, permitting states to impair the obligation of contracts anytime they chose. And the particular case where they issued their opinion was Home Building and Loans Association versus Bladesdale in 1934. In the Depression, the Great Depression, which, by the way, was pulled off by the Federal Reserve, a crime big enough that anybody should recognize that this cabal of illegitimate bankers who are stealing us blind, that these people should have been thrown out on their ear, and you know, they should have been treated with the most harsh terms for what they did to our country. They caused the Great Depression. But anyway, during the Great Depression, many people were being foreclosed upon, as they are even in our day now. And the state put a moratorium on mortgage foreclosures. And this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Can the state say that this contract entered into freely by the individual who purchased the home and the bank who lent them the money to purchase that home, can that contract be violated? And the state just say, sorry, that contract is no longer binding, and the Supreme Court's opinion in Home Building and Loan Association v. Blaisdell was that foreclosures could be, a moratorium could be put on them when reasonable, under reasonable emergency circumstances. And who defines emergency? The state itself. Who defines what circumstances under which you can impair a contract? Well, the state does. So he's given the power to completely abrogate this section of the Constitution, which restricts states from impairing obligation of contracts. A very dangerous, dangerous decision. the court has effectively written unreasonably into this clause. That is, the states may not pass laws impairing obligation of contracts unreasonably. That's not what the Constitution says, and yet that was what the Supreme Court opinion essentially has held, and therefore state authorities regularly interfere with private business relations and business contracts at an increasing pace. And this is a dangerous violation of our God-given rights and should be restored to what it originally was. We should not permit this opinion of the Supreme Court, and it's only an opinion. It has no binding power on anybody else. We should not permit that opinion to accomplish what it has since 1934. Well, moving on to the next prohibition, states may not...
David, did we get your telephone number out? So the people
Our telephone number here at Institute on the Constitution, toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again is 1-866-730-9796.
And people can actually take the course online.
That's
or
right.
They can get a packet, and they can get together their friends and family and begin to teach them. And you don't have to know anything yourself, although you learn as you do it. You watch the DVDs, and then, of course, you give a test, and you've got the test questions. You've got the test answers. It's a matter of learning, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have people learn about the foundation of our freedom, which is the United States Constitution, which the fascist element and the people of great wealth who want a dictatorship in America, they hate the Constitution. I hope you will embrace it and do everything you can to get that information out. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And we're encouraged, again, as people all over the country are hosting these courses in their communities, and we hear just got a report from a fellow down in was it Mississippi who was very grateful, who was just thanking us for putting this together, and was grateful that he had he said right here that it was so well put together, it was very simple for him to prepare and to conduct this class.
Hold on, Bob, we'll be back in just a moment here at the American Institute.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
You may not plant a 250,000 acres every season or tend 50,000 head of cattle, but it's good to know that your equipment could. From farming and cattle handling to goat and equine management, Charter Equipment is used, trusted, and built by pros using more than 60 years of know-how, which is just one of the reasons we are the official provider of equine and livestock management equipment for the World Equestrian Games. To find a farm and ranch store near you, visit tartargate.com. Tartar, working harder since 1945.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses at iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, we're on the last segment. You pick up the story.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stan. The next thing that states may not do is grant titles of nobility. And again, we talked about this in relation to why the federal government, they would not be permitted to grant titles of nobility. They understood that one of the greatest problems in Europe was certain citizens were granted more privileges. That is, they were granted monopolies in many cases. Often these titles of nobility granted financial advantages to those who held those titles that were not available to everybody else. And so you created a two-tier level of society, the privilege, those who had all kinds of perks that the government granted to them. It wasn't that they were better businessmen, that's why they got the monopoly. No, they were politically connected, and perhaps they had financially loaned money. They'd done some things that the king rewarded them for by granting a letter or a title of nobility. They didn't want that. No, everybody was equal. Everybody had equal opportunity. That didn't mean everyone had equal income or equal property or anything like that, but everybody had equal opportunity. No people were given a special advantage by the civil government granting them this higher status. And so not only could the federal government grant no titles of nobility, certainly no titles of nobility were permitted by the states to grant as well. And then states may not, without the consent of Congress, so there's a little bit of a different category. If Congress could consented to this, the state could engage in this, but the states could not, without the consent of Congress, tax imports or exports except as necessary for their inspections. For instance, in California, they do a thorough fruit and vegetable inspection of any fruit or vegetables coming into the state to prevent disease and so forth, and that's permissible, and the state may tax just to the extent to pay for those inspections. And the reason they did this is very clear. During the period of our country when we were under the Articles of Confederation, one of the things that was such a problem is states were treating one another as foreign countries. So when goods manufactured in one state were transported to another state, they would charge them an import duty, you know, and these import duties could be rather high. And so it was as if we had 13 separate nations all treating one another as foreign countries, and they recognized this is an impediment to economic growth, and this is an impediment to what would benefit all of the states if there was a level playing field, a free trade zone only among those states that are part of the Union. Not a free trade zone with Canada, a free trade zone with Mexico, or the whole of the Western Hemisphere as being proposed by the administration. Now, all those things were not what our founders ever wanted to have happen. Rather, it would be a free trade zone, a level playing field economically between the states that were part of the Union. That was one of the purposes for this union. And so states could not do that except with the consent of Congress. Then finally, states may not, without the consent of Congress, do these four things. Levy duty of tonnage on ships. Again, the idea is if an import was coming from another country, it had to be a standard import duty in each port, whatever state it was in, whether it was in Boston or whether it was in Savannah, Georgia. It had to be the same, uniform. That way, no one port was given an advantage over the others, and no one state was given an advantage over the others. We, as a union of states, were going to relate to other countries in terms of our trade issues as one block with a uniform duty of tonnage. And so no state could, without the consent of Congress, levy a duty of tonnage, and no state could keep troops in peacetime. Obviously, our founders' design was there would never be a standing army. The only time an army existed is when a declaration of war had been issued by Congress, and then the president only at that time became the leader of the military force. He had no power over the state militias unless there was a declaration of war. Only then would he be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. There would be no standing army. There would be a standing navy, because the navy was more difficult to put together at a moment's notice, but the state militias remained under the power of the governors unless there was a declaration of war. And those state militias were not to be standing armies. It was not for the state to keep a standing army. The state militia was people who were employed in their regular occupations, who trained on days where it was required for the state militia to gather for training and so forth to be prepared in event of an emergency, but they were not professional soldiers. no standing army was permitted, and certainly no no state could keep troops, keep a standing army in peacetime. Fourthly, or thirdly, excuse me, that no state could make an agreement or compact with other states. In other words, a group of the states couldn't say, hey, we're going to enter an agreement without Congress's permission. Oh, well, let's suppose it was over a water issue out west. So the states that have the mountainous regions and have a lot of snow were determined, we're going to band together and we're going to determine that all the water in our area is just for us. So we're going to stop any water from going to those states downstream from us. Well, they would be disadvantaging those states that were not part of this agreement or part of this compact. And so the only way for this to remain fair would be if Congress could rule, yeah, okay, these water rights and so forth can be determined so that each state is not disadvantaged by any agreements or compacts entered into by a group of states. Basically, to, again, create a level playing field among the states. And then finally, no state may declare war except when they are invaded or are in imminent danger. Declaration of war was to take place by Congress, and the one provision here, except when invaded or in imminent danger, provided the idea that in that day, and the design of our founders, is that Congress was not a full-time job. You know, you went to Washington, D.C. for several months out of the year, and then you were home for the majority of the year. You were in your home state, you had your own business, and you served in Congress just a small portion of the total year. And so, of course, you know, an emergency situation might arise when Congress is not in session. Congress cannot be called up quickly enough to make a declaration of war, particularly in that day when travel was slow and so on, that it might be necessary for a state, if it's invaded, a state, if it's attacked, to temporarily defend themselves with their state militia before a declaration of war can be put together by Congress and all the other state militias federalized under the president, and then go to protect and defend the borders of our country. But no state individually could declare war on another country and not have the approval of Congress in doing so.
David, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
God bless, Dr. Stan. Thank you for your great work.
Bye-bye.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Staff and families of Brown's Appliance and Service Center takes this time out to recognize and salute the Brighton men and women in uniform, standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's always remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Their efforts abroad and our support has kept America strong. That's from your friends at Brown's Appliance and Service Center, where Alan Swain and his family and staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live. That's Brown's Appliance Service Center at 204 South Main Street in Brighton. Call 659-0410.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and we hope to enjoy our conversations every month with David Whitney. But you have to get involved. You've got to get other people to understand the Constitution. You have to understand we're losing our Constitution because there is a fascist element in Washington, D.C. Who are they? Well, you need to get our DVD and on the Trilateral Commission put out. It's a talk that Pat Wood has given last October. You need to understand the Trilateral Commission, according to Barry Goldwater, was organized to seize control of our government. It has seized control of our government. 12 of the closest advisors to the current president are current or former members of the Trilateral Commission. And there's only 85, 87 people in the North American chapter. But they've controlled every administration. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to play down that, to ridicule, to demonize, to patronize the people who believe that there's a small group of wealthy people who control both political parties. But that's the reality. And since 1976, every president and or vice president of the United States has been a member of the Trilateral Commission. So understand what's going on. You need to get my talk on the financial Armageddon. We go into the Trilateral Commission again. We've got a great book. It's called Family of Secrets. Family of Secrets. It's the story of the Bush family. And, of course, they come out of the skull and bones, a secret occult organization. But Family of Secrets will go into all sorts of things you've never heard of before. George Herbert Walker Bush and the Kennedy assassination, and certainly their tie into a number of nefarious activities. Family of Secrets, an important book. We hope you'll want to get a copy. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, the DVD on the Trilateral Commission and my talk on the DVD. The financial Armageddon comes with a syllabus, but you need to understand what's going on now if you hope to survive, because believe me, the economy is on the verge of collapse again, but they're not going to tell you that, not until it suddenly happens, and they'll say, oh, shucks, we had no idea. Well, Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, just this last week, giving a talk in Europe, said that things are far worse today. Our banking system is in far worse shape than it was in 2007, before the initial crash. Warren Buffett selling stocks. People from PIMCO and John Paulson, big hedge funds, they're planning on another turn down. That's why they're preparing themselves. They made billions of dollars last time the economy collapsed, and we're on the verge of another collapse today. But we can't tell you common people, because we want to get you into the stock market. We want you, of course, to go along with the system. We want you to trust and believe what television tells you, because it's controlled by the establishment and it controls your very thoughts. Well, we do hope you go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And look at the books and the DVD sets and certainly the CDs we have and the other information that you need to survive in times like these. Certainly if you need to get dehydrated food, things of that sort, or lay in a stock of medical supplies. I'm talking about health supplies. We do offer them through our ministry. We're also offering a lockbox for a gun. Here in California, you can't have a loaded gun in your house unless it's in sort of a locked box. We're actually carrying the V-Line products, and if you'd like to get a catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our October 25th all-day conference here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. So until tomorrow at the same time, I'd like to say goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses at iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com. We'll
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional